Good morning. I call the Senate Finance Committee to order. Today is Thursday, May 5th, 2022. The time is 9:04 a.m. Please silence all cell phones. We had one go off the other day and somebody still owes us. So I've got that on the account receivable list. With that being said, present today, Senator Wilikowski, Senator Wilson, Senator Hoffman will be along momentarily, Senator Olson as well, Senator Von Imhoff is excused, co-chair Stedman, myself, Chair Bishop. Today's agenda, first up is Senate Bill 218, and then the second action item for the day will be HB 307, Extend Bond Authority for Interior Energy Program. So, Senate Bill 218, first hearing, our intention to hear bill introduction, sectional analyses, take invited and public testimony, set the bill aside. Senator President Michicki, welcome to Senate Finance. And Madison Govan, staff to Senator Michicki, will be available for questions. Good morning, sir. Yourself on the record, and the floor is yours.
Good morning, Senate Finance. Thanks for having us this morning. Just a little bit about Senate Bill 218. The Alaska Railroad Passenger Terminal in Seward grants the railroad the legislative authority to issue bonds no more than $60 million to fund the construction of a new passenger terminal. The current passenger terminal is essentially my age, Mr. Chairman.
And, 30?
Yeah, it's a little bit older than 30. And I did bring some big posters to wave around today, but I know that wouldn't be following your rules, so I anyway, we expect 82 cruise ships in the 2022 season. And what that means is it's a very important project for South Central Alaska. It's not just the Kenai Peninsula. Those cruise ships feed tourism, related businesses all over South Central, from Anchorage and up to Fairbanks to down to the Seldovia area. So it's very important for our state economy. Total anticipated cost for this project is $79 million. This is a recent analysis, and the railroad is using other funds to combine with the 60, which is the lending cap on this project, for the project to come to fruition. Remember, the debt service on this project for these bonds will be paid entirely from passenger terminal revenues without any state of Alaska liability for the debts accrued by the railroad. In order to meet the 2024 need for replacement of the facility, it's imperative that the railroad coordinate public debt funding by mid-2022. And we have the railroad folks here today. I'm not going to take a lot of your time because I think you're going to get into the details of the presentation you're going to hear, so I can step away and let them do their thing if that's what's best.
Thank you, Senator. I'd like the record reflect Senator Hoffman and Senator Olson have been here for some time. We let the record reflect that both of you gentlemen were here and were on other state business, so we're almost at full strength today. We are, for who we have in the building. So, any questions of the bill sponsor? Seeing none.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. We'll now go into our invited testimony. Mr. Bill O'Leary, Chief Executive Officer of the Alaska Railroad, has a presentation. And then we have Janet Bauer, City of Seward Manager, Preston Carnahan, Director of Business Development for Royal Caribbean, also for public testimony. Mr. O'Leary, if you come forward, put yourself on the record, and please proceed.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Bill O'Leary. I'm the President and Chief Executive Officer of the Alaska Railroad Corporation. And with me today, I have Barbara Amey, the corporation's chief financial officer. She's available for any questions. And also, hopefully on the line, is Brian Lindemood, the Alaska Railroad's chief engineer or vice president of engineering. Very happy to be here today to talk about really an exciting project not only for the Alaska Railroad Corporation and for the city of Seward, certainly, but also for the entire South Central and interior visitor industry. I do have a PowerPoint here that I'm going to take you through quickly, and it works. So as well as over 50 locomotives, 50 passenger cars, hundreds of freight cars, and 600 miles or so of track, the Alaska Railroad is also very much in the dock business. We own three in our most southern Alaskan terminus of Seward. And you see on the picture up there from left to right, you'll see our freight dock. And in the middle, the subject really of today, our passenger dock. And then on the far right is our loading facility, which is formerly known as our coal loading facility. We also have significant uplands in the Seward area, over 300 acres of railroad land, with a relatively small portion of that under lease currently, but certainly available for additional development by private sector. The focus today is on the passenger terminal, and this, just a little bit of background on this, as Senator Michiki excuse me, said, this dock was built in around the 1966 timeframe, and it was built originally as a freight dock, and it's a pile-supported pier dock that, you know, has served us very, very well, but salt water and time have been problematic for it, and it is nearing the end of its useful life. You will see on one end of the dock is also the terminal facility or the building that is used for passenger processing. It's give or take a 26,000 square foot building on the north end of the pier. To be very clear, the dock is still safe for use, but is really, we can see, end of life soon, as we kind of refer to it around the railroad as being in hospice care at this point. This is a key piece of infrastructure for not only the Alaska Railroad, but also certainly for the entire South Central and interior visitor industry. The majority of cruise passengers that came to South Central Alaska in 2019, the last year we had cruise ships in the area, came over this dock, and that's nearly a quarter of a million visitors. And these are passengers that ride the railroad, passengers that take motor coaches, rent cars, and fly to locations all along the rail belt and other places, from Seward to Fairbanks to the Kenai Peninsula. 90 ship calls at this point planned for 2022, and really we think, and the industry thinks, that we're very well positioned for continued growth for the Cross Gulf product that is becoming more and more popular. So just taking a little bit of a step back and just talking about, you know, we are very much bullish on Seward at this point. And we are the Alaska Railroad is planning over $100 million of investment between the two active docks at this point over the next 5 years. So we do have, as I mentioned, the freight dock, which is going to be the subject of a $25 million lengthening and widening project, also improving some access to it, which is a great story, not one for today, but we think it's going to be excellent for the region. But and then the passenger terminal itself here, which is give or take $79 to $80 million project. So a little bit more about that that project. Again, you see the size of the dock.
Mr. O'Leary? Back on page three, I was rolling some numbers through my head. I just want to, on the freight terminal, so that was a MARAD grant, 80% funded by a MARAD grant on the freight terminal. Is that $25 million your match?
Senator Bishop, no, that the $25 million is the total project cost. $20 million of it is will be funded by the MARAD grant, and then the additional $5 million will be, you know, other funds.
Other funds, okay. Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Does the railroad own or can run the freight dock in Seward?
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, yes, we do.
Just follow up.
If I could, Mr. Chair, just while we're on the topic, what just very briefly, if you could answer, what would be the capacity of the Seward freight dock to pick up the slack, I guess, if the Anchorage dock were to suffer a catastrophic failure. With your indulgence, Mr. Chair.
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, it's certainly available. It would it's not optimal at this particular point, but in case of a some event that made the Port of Alaska unavailable or incapacitated, we believe through some additional work down there that the steamships could offload in Seward on the freight dock.
Thank you, Senator.
What his name
Stedman
is? Okay, good.
What's your name again?
Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We've been looking at several ports around the state, and it'd be nice if you can get back to us on the tariff rate. What's it cost to move goods across your dock? I think we're going to be looking at that issue across the state. And I just wondered if you guys, even if you had some older data on it, there's multiple ports and container ports in Southeast and Kodiak and out in the chain, and we just need to get a committee over the next several months into early next winter needs to get a good grasp on what those costs are across the region as we deal with other port expansions and make sure we are taking a broader view. And then also, Mr. Chairman, if I could, in the presentation, a lot of us are very familiar with cruise docks and expansions here. I'd like to have the presenter talk a little bit after he's done with his presentation or through it, if it's appropriate on the slides, about further expansions, because looking at the growth in the industry, and electrifying the docks for plugging in the cruise ships because they have carbon emission issues, and we need to have as many cruise ship docks being able to shut down their generators and plug in to the hydropower or other power sources. So I think, Mr. Chairman, I'm pointing out this is most likely the beginning of a multi-year expansion that's going to be going on around the coast of Alaska, including Seward.
Thank you. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In dovetailing on the question that was asked by the Senator Wilikowski, you talked about if there was a catastrophic failure there in Anchorage and for some reason it was incapacitated to any degree. You talked about, we were asked whether the sewer dock could pick up the slack, and I guess I'm wondering, you said, from what I understand, you said with some work it could. As we look at what's going on with the dock right now, which is mainly dealing with the freight for the residents of Alaska as well as the equipment that comes through there, what about the military, where you've got a fair amount of supplies that have got to be coming in for the enlisted people that are there, as well as some of the heavy equipment as we look at the war with Ukraine and we're trying to ramp up for that? You're sure that you can go ahead and handle that if that comes to fruition?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, certainly we do a lot of work with the military right now, but again, the majority of that, I believe, goes to the Port of Alaska at this point. I would actually have to get back to you to, be absolutely sure that, certainly we can transport it. We move heavy equipment, we move strikers, we move things of that nature to the Port of Alaska. We could certainly move it to the Port of Seward. I don't think there would be that much of an issue, using the freight dock for that point. But to be sure, I'd like to get check with. Actually, if Brian Lindemood, our Vice President of Engineering, may have a good answer for that right now.
Mr. Lindemood, are you with us?
I'm sorry, we just got cut off. Can you repeat the question, please?
Senator Olson has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The CEO and president of the Alaska Railroad was questioned as to whether, if there was a catastrophic failure with the Port of Alaska there in Anchorage, could the slack be brought, could the shortage of transportation transferring from sea to land, could that be handled through Seward? And he had said that yes, he thought it could be. We might need some work, But I was my question to him was, as you look at the military, which normally gets all its stuff coming through the port of Alaska there in Anchorage, you're dealing with supplies, you're dealing with equipment, more and more equipment coming through, especially as we look at the Russian invasion and the global strife that's going on. Was he sure that it could pick it up, and how long would it take to revamp the dock so it could handle that load?
The answer is yes, it could. The freight dock with the expansion will be able to handle, you know, the same sorts of ships that are currently calling on the port of Anchorage. And likewise, with one of the things that the cruise dock will be able to do is do the same. And as some of you are aware, the two cruise line or the two marine lines that serve the port of Anchorage both come in at the exact same time. And so right now we really only have the ability to handle one of them, but with the completion of this project, we'll be able to handle them both at the same time.
Last question, Mr. Chairman.
The land transportation to and fro will be strained just due to the available equipment as well as available truck drivers, but it is feasible. If it were to be something that was looked at more long-term, there would have to be additional investment placed and put in those assets.
Last question, Mr. Chairman.
Last question, and Senator Hoffman, Senator Stedman, and Senator Bishop, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Lindemuth, what kind of time frame are you talking about this dock, the dock work being done so that we could look at that as a possible alternative if there was a issue with the Port of Alaska?
The current schedule right now is we're trying to get the cruise dock completed by 2024. The freight dock is probably a year or two behind it, but roughly 25, 26.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No further questions.
Okay, Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Leary, what is the bond capacity of the railroad?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, at this point, I'm not sure we've identified specifically a maximum amount at this point, but we are very comfortable with the $60 million, up to $60 million that we are talking about here. We are a generally low debt operation at this point. We have, you know, I think roughly $8 million of existing debt that has recourse to the Alaska Railroad. We have about somewhere around $30 million of debt that is secured by federal monies that will be actually paid off within the next year. So within the next year, we will actually, our debt levels will be very low for an organization with our cash flow and our asset base.
And Mr. Chairman, if I might continue.
Yes, sir.
What about the, is any of your land used as collateral for those bonds?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, no. We have, I believe, some debt that is secured by our lease revenues from some of our lands, but I believe that will be paid off very shortly also.
Can you remind me how much land the railroad has?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, we about 36,000 acres in total. About half of that is used in actual operations, meaning it's either part of the right-of-way for the track, or it's used the yards where we have our facilities, things of that nature, with roughly the remainder available for other use, primarily lease or permitting.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yep. And okay, Senator Stebbins next.
Yeah, back to the engineer, Mr. Lindemuth, and question for him. You know, we've got the Seward port, and I know that's the subject of the day, but when we were talking about getting emergency goods or other goods into the state, the northern part of the state from where we're at anyway, Whittier, the port of Whittier, I think the railroad services, and it'd be nice to get a briefing from the railroad. Doesn't have to be right now, but maybe just a high level right now, but a briefing from the railroad on the capacity of Whittier. And if the state is going to be seriously thinking of putting hundreds of millions of dollars into a port. We need to make sure it's the correct port. And I don't know which port is the correct port, or if we should have multiple ports. And also, if we were to get into a required conversion, I guess, or modification, requiring one of these two auxiliary ports, Seward or Whittier, to step in and be able to handle significant amount of goods that were hypothetically then not going to the Anchorage port, do we need, you know, overhead cranes, big overhead cranes or other capital goods like that to facilitate economically turning ships around? And then the rail capacity out of Whittier through the tunnel. So we know we got road issues getting the Seward, you know, curvy roads. But it'd be nice to get a good understanding of the railroad potential upgrades if we need to be looking at expanding that tunnel or what have you. So I think this is a much bigger subject matter, I guess, in the presentation today. We're looking at a little expansion here that's going to be financed by the industry, is my understanding. I don't think there's much concern about this issue. We're concerned about the global, the more global position of the three major ports.
So, through the Chair, Senator Steadman, we'd be happy to have those discussions with this committee or anyone else.
I just wanted to follow up. Senator Steadman got most of my question and comments, but I just wanted to just dovetail a couple of things. So right now, you know, you do have hydro train capacity roll on, roll off at Whittier presently, correct?
True statement. We have a rail barge system that we work in conjunction with one of our partners, the Linden Companies.
Okay. So does Seward have roll on, roll off hydro train capacity, this freight dock in this expansion?
It does not at this particular point.
Okay, so it's a two-step process then for Seward. You could put it on a train, but you'd have to handle it twice. Okay. All right. Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Does the railroad have an opinion about whether or not the state should be funding the Port of Alaska in Anchorage? And if so, to what degree?
Through the Chair, Senator Wilikowski. So we work, you know, the Port of Alaska is a, you know, very important port for the Alaska Railroad, and it's something that we do an extraordinary amount of business with you know, the customers that use that. We have, you know, similar customers, and again, co-located right beside us, we have a good working relationship with the Port of Alaska, and so you know, we're supportive of making sure, you know, the infrastructure is available so that our customers can continue to come, and for the not only for the good of the railroad, but certainly for the good of all of South Central and Interior Alaska.
Mr. O'Leary, we're some conversation here about redundancy, as you can see that you're going around the table here. Which ports in South Central has the highest volume of drill casing and frac sands leaving their docks going to the North Slope?
Mr. Chairman, I couldn't speak with certainty on that, other than I know the Seward, the Alaska Railroad's Seward freight dock has been very active in receipt of frac sand over the last 2 years. And that seems to be working well, and it we anticipate, you know, additional cargoes of that coming.
And the drill casing? Which docks that come across? Because you carry it to Fairbanks on the rail.
Yeah. So again, Mr. Chairman, my I hate to use
you
the
can
term,
get back with me on
yeah
that question.
Guess on that. My guess would be Whittier at this particular point, but we can get to. I'd like to confirm that.
Thank you. Okay. Who else had a question? Anybody else have a question? Well, okay. Next slide, please.
So a little bit more about the area of focus today, the Seward passenger dock. The railroad has embarked on a project to rebuild the pier and the building, modernizing both to meet both the current and future demand. So we have a plan at this point to build a longer dock, so going from 736 feet to approximately 1,200 feet, and a building also that, and then in conjunction with the work being done at the freight dock, will provide us the opportunity to actually handle what we call triple ship days, in the instance where three cruise ships may actually call on the Port of Seward at the same time. We are on an aggressive timeline to meet our customers' needs and looking to have this project, the new pier in place, certainly by the beginning of the 2024 cruise season. It's a $79 million project as planned right now. Broken out roughly into $62 million for the dock, or the new pier, and the remainder of the $17 million for the new building. The sources of funding that we're looking for this project are $60 million of Alaska Railroad revenue bonds and about $19 million of Alaska Railroad internal funding, as we call it, or basically our capital budget, our cash. We are going to continue to look to optimize this the structure of this transaction, and so I show the $60 million as the high end of this. If we can find a way through other fund sources to do this in a more economical, appropriate fashion, we'll do that, but there will certainly be, assuming the legislature passes this, there will certainly be a bond issue of some significant amount to make this happen. We are looking at things like federal grants. We're looking at other sources, but there's issues with just the timing, given the tight time frame we're on this. It's critical, as Senator Michiki mentioned, to understand that these are revenue bonds, not even of the railroad, but really of the dock revenues. I mean, that will be the support for these bonds. So there is no liability to the state. There is no recourse to the state. By statute, railroad debt is debt of the corporation, not of the state of Alaska. So, the reason we're here today is for us, for the railroad to issue public debt by statute. It requires legislative authorization to do that.
Mr. O'Leary, when you're finished, I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No.
I have a question for your, is Mr. Lindemood, he's the engineer in charge of this project?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Lindemood, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
This time frame of 2024 construction start date, do you have all your materials, long lead items secured?
That is, the short answer is no, not at this time. We are intending on doing a long lead item purchase this summer.
Okay. Because I was told that if you wanted to, that steel is 2 years out. I don't know how much steel you got in this project. And the second question is just for grins. Well, I mean, I like the project, but I'm just, we've got other port conversations going around the building, and your cost estimates here, how stale are the numbers? And with the project escalation costs going around, are you still confident in your numbers?
The estimate that we are moving forward with is about 4 to 5 months old. As you know, the inflationary numbers were coming out at the beginning of the year and so forth. We were asked the question internally, how confident are you in these numbers? And we are carrying a bit of contingency. Assuming the inflationary pressures start to return to historic levels soon, I think we're still okay. But I believe that your question is well timed. That inflation is probably in the top three risks to this project right now.
Thank you. Questions from the table? Did I miss a question? Seeing none, please continue.
And just really a final note on this is just on this slide is just, you know, given the time frame we're on for a construction schedule, that's why we are requesting this authorization through this legislative session to be able to move forward.
Just a, is that an artist rendition of the building, or is that an actual photo of?
I believe that's an actual back here.
No, this, the slide we were just on.
Oh.
That tan building, is that there now,
or is that? Yeah, no, that's real. That's a photo.
Okay.
So the key piece of the puzzle that I really want to highlight on this is that final bullet down there that relates to the Royal Caribbean Group. We have entered into a strategic partnership with RCG, and they have been one of our 20-year-plus customers in Seward at this point, and I think you'll hear from them a little bit later. They, of course, are one of the world's largest cruise companies and really a key partner for us in this endeavor. They're going to be acting as an anchor tenant with a long-term berthing agreement that will really provide the fiscal stability that we need to be able to effectively market these bonds. So it's been a great relationship to this point, and we're looking forward to that going forward as supporting this. And that really concludes the remarks I had at this point. Certainly, if there's any additional questions, I know Senator Steadman had some, but my only concluding remarks are this project really fits nicely in the railroad's wheelhouse, in that I think it is something that will continue to help us remain self-sustaining, and it will be something that really fits our mission of economic development for the state of Alaska. So I appreciate the committee's consideration of this, and if there are any other questions, I'm certainly happy to answer those.
Senator Steadman and Senator Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I see Royal Caribbean up there, and I see a fellow online from Royal Caribbean. I'd like to hear about a quick few comments about this, the carbon emission issue and the challenges facing the industry with their ships, and what their thoughts are of getting these ships plugged in to shoreside power, because I think this project's a good project, but I'm not so sure it shouldn't be bigger than what it actually is.
Thank you. Would you want to wait till we get the Royal Caribbean and have them answer that, get their comments?
That's fine.
Because Senator Wilson, you have a question of the Mr. O'Leary, I believe.
I do, Mr. Chair. Just Ms. O'Leary, what can you do for the Mat-Su? In terms, I know that we probably won't see you again this year, as we only have about 10 days left in session. But I know that a lot of IJA funds and a lot of money's all been diverted toward passenger. But just wondering, in terms of more of the freight capacity of the rail, or what the future of Alaska Railroad will look like here in the next 5 to 10 years, and maybe that could just be something given to us at a later date. But just wondering to know about the that really expensive snow machine path out in my district, and just wondering to know what also about the expansions in the interior in terms of our rail to resources and what that looks like, and if the rail is more diverging from being more of a freight rail to more of a passenger infrastructure. Just trying to get a better understanding.
Certainly, through the chair, Senator Wilson. So We love all our children equally from the perspective of freight versus passenger versus real estate. They're both freight and passenger are key to us. Freight activities have been growing, and that's a good thing. We, it's been the barge service out of Whittier has been extraordinarily busy this past, certainly the past 6 months, and we can expect that to continue. So we do still have certainly capacity on the rail at this point. I mean, our traffic density is very high during the summer months, not quite as high certainly during the during the winter months for us. With regard specifically to the Port McKenzie extension, rail extension, that of course is it's a Mat-Su borough project that the railroad has been integral involved with Mat-Su in the actual construction of it. There's certainly a significant amount left to do on that. Our latest estimate is somewhere, and really a little bit back of the envelope, and that but somewhere in the $175 million to $190 million range to complete that that rail extension. We think it's something when it had the momentum that it had back in the 2014-2015 timeframe, there were certainly more prospective customers contacting us at this at that particular point. That's it's been certainly quieter since the amount of work has died down. We have worked cooperatively with the Mat-Su Borough and Fairbanks North Star Borough and one of the utilities in Fairbanks to, you know, look going after pursuing grant opportunities that could benefit not only the Interior Energy Project, but would play nicely with expanding or completing a significant portion of that project down there. We were not successful in that endeavor, but I think there'll be other opportunities, especially as the continue to unpack the federal infrastructure bill out there. But I mean, you know, kind of encapsulating the whole thing is, you know, the railroad believes in infrastructure. We like infrastructure. We think it's something that's, you know, sorely lacking in Alaska, appropriate infrastructure out there. But, you know, given our certainly the model that we have of, you know, needing to remain self-sustaining, you know, we don't have the capacity to just fund things that don't necessarily can't demonstrate a business case at some level, or there needs to be significant external funding brought to bear to for us to be able to move forward on those kind of endeavors. And whether it's Port McKenzie rail extension or the Northern rail extension, you know, our balance sheet and our cash flow would certainly not support just doing those without having, you know, either external funding coming to us or identified customers or industry. Did that answer your question generally?
It did. Just a quick follow-up.
Sure.
Then. Is the railroad then seeking in this federal infrastructure packages as guidances are changing and funding requirements are changing, is the railroad actively looking at some of those opportunities to possibly help fund these projects to make your cents equal up to dollars?
Through the chair, Senator Wilson, yeah, we're still unpacking the infrastructure bill and at this particular point, and it's one of the things that we're finding is that there are certainly lots of different opportunities out there. We, you know, we are quite resource constrained on our ability to go after a whole lot of these competitive grants at this point, and we're doing our best to expand that that capability at this point. But yeah, there is a lot in there, and I don't think we've kind of reached the bottom of what's out there and what's available, because I think it could be great for the railroad as well as great just generally for the state of Alaska.
So could you expound on how you're resource constrained on going after these IJA grants?
Mr. Chairman, it's just being a grant writer or a grant administrator at this point is a very, very good position to be in at this particular point in this state and in throughout the country, because there's a lot of grant monies available. It is challenging finding resources. We've, you know, approved positions that we had some difficulty filling. We've, I think, you know, been a little more successful lately with that, but it's something that it's just hard. They're very much in demand at this point.
Because I, there's two infrastructure grants out right now for $400 million for ports, $1.4 billion for ports, rail, and passenger service, and I'm sure you're probably aware of those two grants. So thank you for expounding on resource constrained. Thank you. All right. We're going to go to our invited testimony now. Thank you. Unless there's no further questions for this chairman. We'll go to our invited testimony. We're going to go to Janet Bauer, City of Seward Manager. Janet, can you hear us?
I can. Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, please put yourself on the record and proceed with your testimony, and we'd try to keep it to 5 minutes, please.
Sure. Good morning. For the record, I'm Jeanette Bauer. I'm the City of Seward City Manager, and thank you for allowing me to testify this morning. You've heard a lot of the technical information from the railroad, so of course we'll not delve into any of that. But we believe the project to be a vital project for the city because the closure of the dock facility would eliminate cruise ship tourism dollars for our local businesses, including the CPV funds for both the city and the borough. The closure would also affect the marine industry in Seward and throughout the state. The dock is a year-round, and so is the cruise ship terminal. And the cruise ship's off-season, many community events are held in the terminal, including the one which everyone is familiar with, the Lydia Jacoby Watch Party, which went viral. The Alaska Railroad has been an excellent partner with the city and community, and we look forward to our continued partnership. Royal Caribbean, as the anchor tenant, has already proven their commitment to Seward through past service and expanded service they are committed to in the upcoming years. Through these partnerships, we are confident of the positive economic impact this project will bring to Seward and through the state. I also wanted to touch on a couple of things that through the conversation that you just had is one thing that the city has been talking about and considering and working on and want to partner with the railroad is electrification of the docks. We're well aware of the upcoming requirements, and we are doing a major electric upgrade project of our systems. The city owns the and produces electricity here, so we are well aware of all of what we need to do to be in compliance with a lot of things. So we are moving towards these projects. Regarding a catastrophic failure in Anchorage, we have had some of the tenants of Anchorage come to Seward to see if Seward is a possible option for them, and it is our understanding that they are, that we are. Also, Coast Guard is here in Seward. They have received $13.5 million for housing in Seward, and so to us that indicates that there's growth of the Coast Guard also in the Seward area. So it's a very active port with a lot of capacity. And I know that you as the legislators have lots of decisions to be made about alternate locations for food viability reasons and everything else that you have to decide. And I would love for the City of Seward to be part of that solution and the conversation as you move forward. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, questions. We've got a couple of questions for you from the table. Senator Wilikowski. Okay.
Yeah, thank you. Is the City of Seward contributing financially to the construction of this project?
Through the chair, no, we are not.
Thank you. I got a really important question. It's probably going to be the hardest question of the day. Are you folks still overrun with feral rabbits running around Seward?
No, I have not seen any rabbits.
All right. I just remember my days there at Avtec. There's lots of little feral rabbits running around, big ones, too. All right, thank you. Next, we're going to go to Mr. Preston Carnahan, Director of Destination and Business Development for Royal Caribbean. And Mr. Carnahan, if you can put yourself on the record, please, and we'll afford you 5 minutes of testimony. You don't have to use the whole 5 minutes, up to 5 minutes if you. But anyway.
Understood. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Preston Carnahan from the Royal Caribbean Group. Briefly about us, we have 60 ships globally. This year will be around 10 in Alaska. Our brands have been in Alaska since the late 90s and at the Seward Dock. As has been mentioned before, access to a modern and capable dock in Seward is critical to our ability to bring passengers to the interior, all the way from Kenai to Fairbanks and the rail belt communities in between. Additionally, the Southeast communities also rely heavily on our ability to continue calling into Seward, as those ships meet in the Southeast communities along their way. We have been for the past couple years and continue working directly with the railroad, and I'd like to thank them for working with us throughout this process, and the community of Seward, who we've continued to develop a good relationship with, and I think we're at a good point where we understand how our business integrates with, you know, both the community and the railroad's business. I'd also like to finish by saying that, you know, as we talk about this larger infrastructure project and long-term commitment, that Royal Caribbean is working towards that long-term commitment, and so we would be the main user of this new facility, and we plan to be there for decades to come. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Stebbin has a question. Mr. Carnahan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Carnahan, I know there's some environmental winds of change in the works for the industry globally dealing with carbon emissions. And I represent Ketchikan, Sitka, and Hoonah, which are all significant docks in the state. And I'd like to get a little update on for the committee, the carbon issue, and from your perspective, the industry's plan to electrify the dock so you can plug your ships in. I think that's a win-win for everybody. Could you help me with that, please?
Yeah, through the chair, Senator Stedman. So a little information, I guess, on us also and in our business in Alaska, and one of the drivers, you know, for the project in Seward that, again, affects the downline ports, which is the dock becoming larger will allow us to bring our larger ships. Those ships are on average 15 to 20% more efficient than every generation before. So by allowing those larger ships to come in, we are cutting actual carbon emissions by making this dock larger. As it comes to dock electrification, those larger ships are also capable, and they have the hardware built in to plug in. One of the, you know, impacts that we're aware of when we go to especially the Southeast communities is the number of passengers and the size of our ship relative to the community assets. And so we also take into account, you know, the available electricity most of the time, which is produced with hydropower. So although it is clean, we also understand that at certain times of the year or under certain conditions, we're given one, two, three, or four ships in port, depending on which port it is and which time of year, that it may not make sense right now for the infrastructure to be run. And so that's also something that we need to work with the communities on to understand where their power grid is set up. Are there state or federal projects to upgrade the infrastructure? You know, from our side as a cruise line, we are equipping our ships with the ability to plug in where that becomes available in the future.
Follow up, Senator Stedman.
Well, just as a comment.
Comment.
I think Ketchikan is gearing up and moving forward with that very issue. We can power the ships in the summer, and then use the locals can use the power in the winter. It fits very well. It also generates electricity off of hydro. So it's true that if you had four or five ships in at one time, we can't electrify all of them. But we should try to electrify all the ships we can. And the more docks we can help from the state perspective with our electrical expansion to use the ships as a load factor is a win for everybody.
Thank you for your comments, Senator Stebbin. Mr. Carnahan, I see no other questions from the table. We appreciate you calling in from your headquarters there. So this will close our invited testimony. Now we'll open our public testimony. We're going to go to Fairbanks. And good morning, Bonnie. It's good to see you on the call here. And please put yourself on the record in 2 minutes.
Yes, Bonnie Wolfsad, North Pole, Alaska. Thank you for this opportunity to testify. I do support the passage of SB 218, as I am a strong supporter of maintenance of state infrastructure. Senators Wilikowski, Stedman, and Olson's comments regarding the backup and alternatives to the Port of Anchorage acknowledge Alaska's continued need to maintain infrastructure and to continue with food security, freight, tourism, and business interests. However, I would also like to see some form of commitment from the Alaska Railroad to recognize prior existing rights as documented under Section 1203 of ARTA and the return of full rights to adjacent property owners as originally intended under Section 1208 and 1209, which the railroad had repealed. While this bill would not be the proper mechanism to address these concerns, I would ask that Senate Finance would work to solve these issues between the Alaska Railroad and property owners. Thank you.
All right. Seeing no further public testimony online, anybody in the room wishing to testify? Seeing none, public testimony is closed. Any further discussion? We're going to set this bill aside. All right. We're going to go next to HB 307, extending authority for the Interior Energy Project. This is the first hearing of HB 307. And Mr. Representative Grier Hopkins and Mr. Joe Hardenbrook, if you bring yourselves forward, put yourselves on the record. We're going to hear a bill introduction, sectional, invited testimony, public testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Good to be here with you today. For the record, Representative Grier Hopkins, House District 4, Esther Goldstream, Farmers Loop, North Pole, and beautiful downtown Fox. I'm pleased to offer House Bill 307 today. It's a simple bill that will start a long-term comprehensive solution to a difficult problem that we've been working on in Fairbanks for over a decade now. In 2009, as we're all well aware, the U.S. EPA designated portions of the Fairbanks borough as a non-attainment area for air quality issues related to PM2.5. Since that time, the communities of Fairbanks, and especially North Pole, as well as the state of Alaska, ADA, and the Interior Gas Utility, have been actively engaged in expanding their natural gas capacity and availability through the Interior Energy Project, a project that was designed to bring lower-cost energy to as many interior residents as quickly as possible, and making sure we have businesses and families covered within that expansion. A critical component of the Interior Energy Project, or IEP, is financing for the development of a unified public gas utility with competitive rates as well. Senate Bill 23, back in the 28th legislature in 2013, was passed by the Alaska legislature at that time, giving ADA the ability to provide financing tools for this project and development with the Interior Energy Project. That included $150 million in conduit revenue bonds to help develop an integrated natural gas supply chain, including expansion of natural gas liquefaction facilities in the Mat-Su borough and expansion of natural gas mains and service lines in Fairbanks and North Pole. Authorization for the for issuing these bonds was originally set to expire back in 2018, but legislators before this were able to extend that date for those conduit revenue bonds to 2023, and of course that is coming up soon, so this bill would extend that until 2028. Given market conditions and turmoil related to the COVID-19 pandemic, the Interior Gas Utility delayed their final investment decision on the Titan liquefaction facility that would have been down in Mat-Su, which that project and its expansion and cost would necessitate access to these bonds here today. Bonds are available, still remaining of $136 million of the original $115 that may be issued, and that provided a total package of $275 million in financing from the state. House Bill that involved various different types with capital dollars and other bonding authority. HB 307 extends the authorization for ADA to issue these IEP-related bonds for an additional 5 years up till June 30th of 2028, allowing the Interior Gas Utility to make a good, sound final investment decision on their expansion plans for this coming 5 years. Members will find in their packets today letters of support for House Bill 307 from ADA, the City of Fairbanks, Fairbanks Economic Development Corporation, and the Fairbanks North Star Borough. Mr. Chair, we also have invited testimony and available for any questions is myself and Dan Britton, the General Manager of the Interior Gas Utility.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I believe you covered the sectional, too.
I think so, Mr. Chair. We were happy to go through the short sectional if you'd like.
Senator Wilson.
Thank you. And I think the Titan facility is a good facility to have in our Mat-Su borough. and look to see the expansion of that. But my question is sort of, is this additional bonding capacity going to be used toward, and I'm looking through the report, it just talks about the capacity of the railroad to be able to move some rail cars containing gas containers, but just wondering if that will be part of that process would be using the rail, because I know constituents in our area would love to see those trucks off the road and possibly be using the rail to move the gas to Fairbanks.
Senator Wilson through the chair. My understanding is it would just be for the facility because we have the trucks necessary at this point and are working on amortizing those. But for specific plans, I would send that question to Mr. Dan Britton about what they could do with the funds.
We do have Mr. Britton online here if you would like to refer your question to him, Senator Wilson.
Yes, please.
Mr. Dan Britton in Fairbanks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. This is Dan Britton with the Interior Gas Utility for the record. The current plans do not include any specific investment in rail infrastructure as we work towards expansion of liquefaction. We do continue to look for opportunities to do that, but the bonding authorization that we're seeking, we have not identified a specific investment in rail.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, any further questions of the bill sponsor? We are now in invited testimony. Mr. Britton, did you have anything else you wanted to add under invited testimony, sir?
In the interest of time, Mr. Chair, I think the bill sponsor has covered the majority of the information. I would just add that this year we're estimating an additional 600 customers to convert to natural gas in our community. The funds will be used for expanding availability of gas through the distribution system expansion and installation of new services as customers are interested. And with that, Mr. Chair, I urge support for House Bill 307. I'm happy to answer any questions.
That anticipated 600 unit expansion, did that go above or below your estimates?
So that's slightly above our pro forma for this fiscal year of approximately 457 customers. We've reached over 300 approved for construction service lines this year already, and we're well ahead of where we were last year.
Thank you. Seeing no further questions, public invited testimony is closed. We're going to open public testimony. Is anybody wishing to testify? Online, don't see anybody. Anybody in the room want to testify? Don't see anybody. Public testimony is closed. Any further discussion before we set the bill aside? Amendment deadline is Friday, May 6th at 5 p.m.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee.
Well done, Mr. Hardenbrook, on the sectional. Okay. Okay, thank you. And let me day. Next meeting is 1 p.m. this afternoon. Bills previously scheduled are heard. Thank you. We are adjourned at 10:03.